Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to All Things WordPress and WooCommerce, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! This show is brought to you by OmniSend, the solution for email and SMS marketing with their CRM solution for WooCommerce shops and your own website and Hostinger. Whether you're building a WordPress site or specifically a Woo store, their infrastructure brings your client's site speed, uptime, and security.
Hello, everyone. Welcome at yet another session of the notorious, not so notorious yet, accessibility podcast at Do the Woo. With me today is Maestro Stevens from Iconic Templates. Now, some of you may know them. For some of you, he may come as a total surprise, but I promise you, this is going to be a very entertaining conversation about scalability, accessibility, being part of the WordPress community, especially in that regard, and of course, e-commerce and accessibility. But as usual, we are trying to get guests on the show that are in the midst of the process of learning about this or working with this, instead of always having the people who already know, because there are so many people who don't know yet. We're going to get the other specialists on for sure at some point, but the goal is that we all learn how to implement accessibility in e-commerce, because it's incredibly important, and that we are all learning and struggling, and that we're all going to get there at some point. Also with us today is our friend Bob Dunn. And today, Bob is representing Taka, who, due to circumstances, couldn't be with us today. And he's here to protect all of you from me and Maestro talking too much about things not related, because we like to bubble. Right, Bob?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be the podcast bouncer. And see, that's it. I'm always accessible to do these things. So
yeah, that's wonderful. So for people who don't know me, a little bit of my background. I'm an accessibility specialist and a big mouth in the WordPress community. I love to connect people. I love to learn, love to teach. And I hope I can bring you some extras every time we're doing this. And Maestro, I would say, let's go. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you're doing in daily life?
Yes. Thank you, Anne. And thank you, Bob, as well, for having me on. I've greatly been waiting for this opportunity. It's been anticipation. But just a little bit about me. As Anne already said, my name is Maestro Stevens, and I am owner, founder of Iconic Templates. And we are a template-based platform for WordPress. And it's mainly came from me just being an advocate and a user of other people's templates for years, starting my journey, I would say, back in 2008. So I'm no WordPress old schooler, as I call it, you know, the people that came in way before me. But I definitely love the fact that WordPress has given me opportunities, flexibility, and new lessons as far as community and developing websites.
All right. So what is your accessibility angle, just to put you on the spot, where it comes to e-commerce?
When it comes to e-commerce and accessibility, I would say I am a newbie on the cusp of becoming an intermediate person as far as understanding. Accessibility for me is still an ocean of, you know, wonders and questions and things like that, because I am not a technical person as far as development is concerned. And what I've learned about accessibility has a lot to do with development practices and other, you know, design practices as well. And I'm neither a designer or developer. So my experience is to the average person. But what I have learned is the importance of accessibility and the necessity of accessibility, because there are many more people in the world who I assumed can access websites and they can't because of whatever disability or disadvantages they have. So I'm learning. I'm a work in progress, but I've learned a lot so far. And in the e-commerce world too, especially, just making sure that, people can't buy what they don't see. So if they can't have access to your website, they can't see things, they can't experience it in certain ways, how can you expect them to purchase your product?
Yeah, and it's not just about seeing, right? It's always interesting that the accessibility angle is like, oh, this is for people who are blind. But this group is so much larger. So like you're missing out of a ton of conversions if your website is like this freak show of sliders and moving elements and accessibility as an important part of your conversion strategy is something that people tend to forget. And I know you like to look at things from a larger perspective. And I find it interesting that you do not have the development background, because this is important for everyone to know, especially if you're creating websites. I mean, WordPress enables us to install WooCommerce and create a web shop without knowing what the F we're doing, right? In a sense, it is guiding us. It's doing that. It's a wonderful job. But if you're working at a professional level, you have to understand. It's like with bookkeeping. You don't have to know how to do your own bookkeeping, but you have to be able to read the numbers, right? Yeah. And I'm challenging here. This is, of course, what we call a shooting at an open goal. Now, if there are conversion advantages to accessibility, especially if you're talking about e-commerce, what advantages do you see more? Can you bubble about that? Can you brainstorm about that? And I have the same question for Bob, actually.
Yeah, I'll start with this, that the reason why I didn't mention conversions, because I always tried to speak to a very C-level grade student audience. I was a C-level student myself. And when I start using big words, you know how we say the word big words, even though there can be short in characters, people start asking more questions and they get confused. So I like to come up with little metaphors or similes or just simple ways to put it that the average person understands. And then I'll give them the juice, as we say where I'm from. You got the juice now. I give them the juice afterwards. So yes, and you are absolutely right. It is about conversions. And when with conversions, for example, you know, if you have a button on your website that is, whether it's a certain color or whether it's a certain way that it was developed where it's moving all weirdly and it's just doing this jittery type of move, it can make it hard for a person to want to commit to moving forward to the next step, whether that's a sale, whether that's, you know, a subscription, them coming on your email list or whatever the case is. So in my opinion, that is one example of where accessibility can affect conversions. You know, just for example, using a button. And buttons, as far as I know, links and buttons are pretty much the things that move us forward to the next step on the journey.
Yeah, they are. Links and buttons, those are an interesting topic. I'm going to keep a mind note to get back to that. Bob, what about you? What does it mean to you, accessibility in e-commerce?
Well, I agree a lot with what Maestro said. And it's interesting because I look at accessibility, where do we draw the line? And I'll give you an example today. I was on a site ordering something. And when I got to the checkout and I put in my address, it gives you the two lines, first address, second address. And our address is quite long when you put it all in. Well, when you would hit next step or whatever, it actually pulled up the second part of the address onto the first line, made it one line, then said, your address is limited to 34 characters. So I had to think, okay, now what can I take off of that to make it still deliverable? And it's strange, all the accessibility things that I'm thinking, okay, this was frustrating to me and I can see it. I can think it through. But what if, you know, what kind of a thing could that do? What kind of problems? And maybe that's more of a technical problem in their checkout or whatever, but where does it ever end? It's like all these little crazy little things. And yeah, I'm constantly finding different reasons or different times where I'm actually not doing it myself because of something. And the jittery is interesting too, because I get vertigo sometimes.
Yeah.
And when I get vertigo, I get on medication. And if I'm working, I have to be very careful with scrolling. But boy, if something comes on, like you said, wiggly little strange things, or they're thinking they're trying to be very clever. So yeah, it's a constant challenge for, like you said, way more people than we can imagine.
Yeah, this is so true. And unfortunately, those are the things that are hard to measure. When you talk to companies and you're saying, hey, whether it's in the US and they have to be compliant, or whether it's here in Europe where the European Accessibility Act is going to hit us like a tsunami. What's important to understand, you are naming examples here and you cannot measure. You know, there are companies that are complaining, like, I pay my SEO people thousands and thousands every month, and they will pull out the flag and the balloons when their click rate went up by 0.5%. But at some point, they will see conversions are failing, or there are bounces. And you can put as many thousands of euros into your shop, into SEO. At some point, you're going to end up with these unexplained bounces. And it's interesting to say, because you cannot measure assistive technology. That would be an incredible breach of privacy. And this is always a tough discussion between shop owners and companies that need to make their shops accessible, where they say, give me the numbers, give me the numbers. And there are some examples, but I would also like to think about common sense. And if you are working on a web shop, whether you are a developer or not, for example, buttons and links, few people who are in coding and outside still don't know that a button is doing something and a link is going somewhere. Now, people like to wrap links into buttons, right? In the shape of a button. And of course, in hardcore accessibility, people will say, well, just don't do that, but forget about it, because we're talking about inclusion here and everyone should be included. So also the people who do not depend on assistive technology. I mean, we are incredibly sensitive to all these impulses that we get. I know I can do this on my iPhone. Have you ever tried turning your screen into black and white?
Yes, that actually, to your point, I've noticed a lot, the trend now, because we've made this mistake multiple times with some of our email-based type of templates. You can't control the client, you know, the Gmail or Yahoo. Does anybody use Yahoo anymore? But I'm sure somebody does. Like, am I sure what you're talking about? But things like that, right? You know, and Anne is showing her phone right now. And you know, it's interesting, you know, in a little bit, we're going to be having issues if you're an iPhone user, whether or not you use their new updates, because, you know, they want to be able to change the gradients on their logos and icons. But when it comes to that part, as far as just the changing of colors, I've noticed that people who are keeping accessibility in mind, and I like to model from people that I believe are going in the right direction, that, for instance, and I know it's more than just what you see, as you mentioned before, as far as accessibility, and I agree with that. But just to keep things simple, when you add a link into your email, not having it be that blue color, and just in turn, I consciously now will take an email, I will have to color the blue link. The links are usually blue, and turn it to black and white, because when I start checking my own emails for testing purposes, they would be pink. Because I like to look at myself in dark mode, but you can't control, like, Chrome has a different response. Safari has a different, they all have a different way that they will try to make it accessible themselves with some automatic accessibility practices, that they don't all follow the same rule book.
Doesn't that scare you a little?
Yes. Yeah. I just wanted to, like, go to your point as far as how that there's certain things you can't control, but what can you do?
Yeah. Or to get to what Bob said about the form, this is where UI and UX hold hands, right? There are people like, well, you can't make beautiful, accessible websites, which is absolute nonsense. But something practical like a form, I love it when a form has been coded right and it's telling me, hey, do you want to autofill this?
Yeah.
If you are jittery, but also if you can't do that, or if you have trouble, if you have... You know, we all want to be taken for full. And make no mistake, accessibility and the tech that makes websites accessible is primarily intended for people who use assistive technology that first, right? But then all the rest who accessibility is for is coming in as well. And it's interesting to see that there are page builders, there are themes, and they're like, hey, buddy, look, we offer you this wonderful form. You can just drag in the form widget and then tell us the name. And you want an address field? Fine. You want an email field? Fine. Wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to worry afterwards whether a browser is going to ask the user, hey, would you like to autofill that with your data, right? And at some point, we're all going to get older. I mean, it's like I'm in my 50s. Bob tops that a little. I think you're the youngest of the three here.
Most likely.
I've been throwing you in the deep in this interview, right? We've been talking about accessibility before in the past. It's why I invited you over. Now, did you dig into accessibility-ready tools, for example? Is there anything that you found where you're going to say, oh, people, you got to try this? Or are you still on your journey? Would you like to know where you can find information about accessibility in web shops, for example? Or how far have you gotten with that?
Well, I would definitely say watching between you and there was one other person, I did get hip to, and I don't know who the other person is, so that's why I said one other person because I don't remember, but I did get hip to a tool after I already took a deep dive using Accessibee's accessibility checker tool. They have a free tool. And then I learned that WordPress has a plugin, an accessibility checker. And so...
yeah, they're fantastic. That's the accessibility checker from Equalize Digital, right? From Amber and Chris Hins and Steve Jones.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm dying to get them on the show as well. But, you know, first we're talking about this. So how did you install it? How did it work for you?
Yes, I will definitely install it. Definitely purchase one of the plans. So that way we can use the pro plan, because the free plan only gets you so much, but the free plan is great. And the fact that it is free for people to use, I think it's a great gateway entry, you know, for those who want to use a WordPress based type of plugin. I would definitely say that from there, I was able to, the goal that I have with my business and the way I do things is I like to be the engineer, learn what I need to learn so that way I can show my people the tools that they need to use. And then they can teach me something because I don't got time to know everything about everything. So, but I do have time to learn a lot about a few things. And so with that tool, it really helped me gain more information as far as kind of like the getting a second opinion, a doctor checking the doctor, a who watches the watchman type of thing. So we didn't stop using the accessibility checker tool from Accessibee, but we did start using the accessibility checker by it was Equalize Digital in tandem, because you can put that specifically on the website itself. And what I liked that my developer, quote unquote, reported to me based on the results was that there were just certain technical parts and even reports that we weren't going to get from the accessibility checker, the free checker, that we got only because it's a WordPress-based plugin, because we were able to look at every individual page, which was beautiful, that we couldn't do with the other tool. We'd have to put in every page individually, and that would be hours on hours of time. So for those of y'all who, and this is, I'm not sponsored or anything, but for those of you who want to save some time, because time is money, that accessibility checker on WordPress, that plugin saved a lot of time, because I love that.
It does. It does. I can recommend anyone to install that. By the way, the difference between the free and the pro version is that if you have custom post types or login pages logged in where you have password protected sections, that's where you want to get the pro version. And I'm just going to say it, people always get the pro version of great WordPress plugin developers, especially if they offer it to you in the repo, because we need to support these people. And just some juicy bit, Accessibility Checker is running on NASA. Absolutely fantastic. By the way, this is a little segue that I'm taking here. Very soon, we're going to have Accessibility Day. And this is also organized by Equalize Digital and a lot of other wonderful people. I'm sure that you're going to hear about this from Bob very soon, because of course we're not going to leave the topic alone from there, right?
Right. Yeah, we will actually have some of the organizers come on. They'll probably be coming on. Oh, I would say the show will be early October, because I think it's kind of mid-October, the event. But we're going to let a few of the organizers just come on and do a show themselves, just talking about it and sharing, you know, all the good stuff going on. So excited about that.
Yeah, people come on and listen to this, because to a lot of you, accessibility is like this enigma, this tsunami that runs you over, and suddenly you feel you have to understand everything about code and design and content and all of it. That's not true. It's one of the reasons why we love to invite people like Maestro, who are still at the beginning of this accessibility journey, to learn about how do they approach it? Where do they go from here?
Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org. As a builder or an agency managing multiple sites, check out Hostinger.com. Their infrastructure brings your client's site speed, uptime, and security. Also, at your fingertips, you'll find a powerful suite of tools for security and performance, code and content management. Now add to that the ability to manage your WordPress website through WP CLI for control configuration and plugin updates, enhanced WordPress acceleration powered by Lightspeed Enterprise, control over auto updates, free migrations, and of course, the essential staging sites. Through all of their services and features comes e-commerce optimization for your clients' Woo shops. So when you think about it, overall, everything you need to keep your client sites running smooth can be found with their agency hosting at Hostinger.com.
I have another question that I absolutely didn't prepare you for, Maestro.
Right on.
Looking back, has there been, knowing what you know now, even if you think it's just little, is there a web project that you would say like, oh man, I wish I could do that one all over with what I know now, without discrediting your professionality, of course. I mean, also, this is something that you might run into as a business, as a web business owner, right? You might get a response from your customers who are like, what? You never told me my stuff had to be accessible. What? Right? This is an incredibly important point to make. There's no shame in having an inaccessible website or web shop, because for years, people didn't know how important this is. The why behind that, we could talk about that for hours, days, months, probably. But fact is that we're now all coming up to speed. Unfortunately, the lawmakers had to push everyone a little bit into that. But dear website owners, do not shoot down your web agency for this.
Right.
Right? Because this is like, it's been there for like more than 20 years. But as a topic, it's hitting people like in Europe. Suddenly someone says, oh, you have to do away with all your cats because now we have too much CO2. You know, stuff like that. I'm not comparing CO2 to accessibility, but, you know, just the way that this came across. So with that in mind, this is where I ask you this question, Maestro. Is there a project where you're like, oh, when I would have done that completely different, knowing what I know now?
Well, I would say as you already mentioned, we all have things on our own or that we've created that we would look back and say, hey, I wish I would have did that better. Hindsight was a 2020. So I would say our own projects, my own websites, like I didn't build them with the accessibility information and knowledge and experience I have now. So just going back to them, you know, our own Iconic Templates website that you mentioned and our own other agency website, I would say we started with just updating our templates first with the best accessibility practices and learning the experience that came from that gave me the knowledge and the confidence to say, okay, and even the motivation to go back and create and correct the websites themselves. You know, I know the products are one thing, but there's also the presentation of where they land at. So yeah, our own websites, I'm excited to actually do our websites over again with accessibility in yeah. mind. So that way I know I did it right.
Can you tell a little bit about what it was like for your developers and your designers? How did they respond initially to changes you wanted where it comes to creating an accessible experience?
I would say that they are, or they were shocked at first because they didn't know what they didn't know. Oftentimes people don't know what they don't know. And the fact that for them, it was part education, you know, but also part work because you have to learn and that takes some work. It was also part mindset change. So you have the education part, you have the work part, and then you have the whole changing of the mindset. And I think that for them, what the shock was, like they had to change their mindset. When you're not building with your old practices in mind, you know, to make things look cool or just to make things be functional, to be building with accessibility, to allow people to access the stuff that's being built. Yeah, that's like going from soda to water. Almost.
Right. Yeah, it is. That's my experience too. And I remember when I realized that I was creating one wall after another for users, that was shocking. There's a nice rule of thumb that I learned that is a bit sharp though. It says if a graphic or content design does not solve a problem, it's art.
Hmm.
And this is something that is so important to remember. And people do get defensive, right? I mean, maybe people got defensive. I don't know. Around me, people get defensive a lot. Maybe it's just me. It could also be. But I understand that when you're a creative person, someone telling you like, hey, your design needs to be adjusted to this and this, that they will feel attacked. And the same thing is in of course, to fly back to big e-commerce websites or have big names, big brands, and suddenly you come around and you say, man, really, I know you want me to build you a new website, but you need to change something about your corporate identity. That is very, very shocking to a lot of companies. And getting your corporate identity developed is very costly. This is so interesting, especially when it goes about commerce. I mean, a lot of people get angry with me and with us for talking about accessibility and e-commerce. But to put that into perspective, when I speak to my friends and customers who depend on all kinds of accessibility features, they just say, we're happy if we're treated like anybody else, that we have the same kind of access. Do you think I have no money in my pocket? People who can't walk, do you think they don't need shoes? Right? And when you confront customers or potential customers with creating websites, you're going to have to sell them into creating an accessible web shop experience, right?
That is true. I actually just released a course last week and it was an MVP, and the official course will have some type of accessibility part to it. I would say both to answer your question simply. As Albert Einstein says, if you can't explain it simply, you simply don't know it. But yes, both. I would probably add the accessibility portion, for instance, you know, to the the official course that I'll be creating, the customization topic area of things, just because I think when people think about, again, and you and I are on two different wavelengths as far as our experience with accessibility, right? Like, you're the expert, you know, I'm a user.
No, I'm not an expert. Come on.
So there's a difference between how we approach it. But for the people that I'm sharing and showing things about or introducing, so that way I can, how do I say, prime them for get ready for Ann. You got to be primed now. You can't just go to her with just anything. But to get them ready for you, I would say, hey, you know, when you're thinking about the customization of your website and the styling aspect of things, as you mentioned, the branding, so kind of I'm connecting the dots, that's the areas where you definitely want to address some accessibility factors, you know, even if it's the most fundamental things, because it will help you avoid or prevent future issues and then you getting the whole analysis paralysis, because that is as common as the flu or the more than we talk about. And that's where I like to approach it and share information with people is, okay, if you're thinking about accessibility, you don't know anything about it, you don't want to get overwhelmed, because we often do, and then we give up. Let's just be honest. Most people give up before they continue. You got to start off with understanding something in a small area. I think customizing your theme and the styling, we can go days for that, but that's a great area at least to start with and then go from there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm really happy to hear. And I'm pretty sure, like, if we would talk about this again in 2 or 3 years from now, you'd probably say, oh, back then I should have done this or that or that. But this is progress over perfection. We just have to start. Another thing I would like to mention today about WooCommerce, because I don't hear about it enough, in my opinion, they are pulling the cart so hard right now, creating accessibility ready output. I think it is amazing. It's been resting for a while. It's a big topic in WordPress in itself in general, but they are pulling their weight right now. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, Maestro, is are you also, if you find something in WordPress or WooCommerce that you can't use or that you find difficult, are you prone to go to GitHub and talk about that? Or do you have any points where you say, hey, WooCommerce, what do I do to get you to work on this or that? Are you aware of how approachable they are?
That's a good question. To answer that question, no, I am not aware of how approachable they are, but I am excited of the updates that are coming. For example, the new UI for product creation. So I would assume, and I know assumptions can make a butt out of you and me, I'm holding my tongue here, but I would assume that while they're creating these UI updates, that they are also in tandem bringing these accessibility factors. Because I think that would do WooCommerce a very a big disservice not to have both the peanut butter and the jelly so we can eat a good sandwich. I think that they need both. And I'm excited to see the updates with the UI mixed with the speed improvements that they've been making over the last few months or even a year. And then you mix that with the accessibility, I think you have a trifecta. And a lot of the complaints that people have made or the issues or concerns over all these years, I think that those will be addressed, you know, kind of all in one if they can fully pull this off. But that's just my opinion. I don't know the facts.
Well, I think they're absolutely doing a great job. And this is something people should know in general. You know, if you don't hesitate, don't think like, oh, what do I know? Or I'm just a small person or I don't know anything. Of course, right now, working with the block editor is becoming more and more prominent, something that I do like. Not everybody does, but I do, because sites based on the block editor are just very fast. And speed is, of course, also very important in e-commerce, but also for accessibility. And if you feel like, hey, there is something in the UI that is confusing, or hey, why don't you change it like that? It's wonderful if you tell people on social media or if you go on YouTube and pull off a rant or whatever. But the most effective way to do it is to go onto GitHub and report your issue or file your request. And whether this is about a regular thing or an accessibility thing, that doesn't matter. They are super, super approachable. And this is something that actually goes for WordPress as a whole. We can talk to them. We can talk to the core team. Nobody is too stupid or too unknowledgeable or whatever. I mean, if you know how to create a screenshot and point arrows like, hey, this and this and this, you give them something to work with and to reply, right? So what I'm curious about next is when you now that we've been talking to each other for a while now, if you come onto a site or a shop, do you look at it differently? Has this become your second nature already, or is it still growing on you?
I would say that I'm going to say that it's still growing on me, but I want to touch back on the point you just made earlier, because I like to at least give a little bit of insight from my perspective on how you're able to get some type of traction in your voice being heard. Because I do agree that going directly to the source and, you know, quote unquote, as we say, create your ticket. You know, I'll just say that because everybody that follows me or that knows me or that's kind of in my audience, they don't understand GitHub. They just don't. They're not technical people. They're not developers. But I would say that is a great start. I also have seen a lot of influencers, like YouTubers, that speak up and they create a video and they get comments. And I've seen those things create more action in the WordPress community sometimes than the actual tickets or the, you know, talking directly to the developers. I'm not saying it's a one size fits all, but I have literally seen that from a lot of people. So I just wanted to start there that I think both are needed, because sometimes you'll get, if you just put in tickets or you just put in your request, sometimes because people are so busy and there's so many contributors that they get missed. Let's just keep it real. I like to keep it real. I'm just keeping it real with y'all. I like to keep it real. Sometimes they get missed. So I would start there. But yes, I would definitely say my eyes have now been opened, because I used to be a skateboarder. And the way that I would approach skateboarding is how I approach WordPress or accessibility with WordPress now. Once I look at a rail or stairs or something, I don't see it the average. We call it the eagle eye. I don't see anything the same way everybody else sees it. Everything I see, I can do a trick off of it. So now when I look at shops, you know, now that my eyes are open, it's like that rail as I'm walking down the street or that staircase. It's like, okay, my eyes can't unsee now what I know. So I am being a little nitpicky, or I'm like, oh, this is not accessible the way that I would think it is. And that's kind of how I would metaphorically say, to answer your question, yeah, I do see things much, much different now because I have that eagle eye. My eyes are open.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool to hear. And I think that's where things should get started. So we've been talking for a while now. I wonder, Bob, do you have any wonderful takes on this topic so far? You've been unusually quiet.
Yeah, that's my job, to be quiet and just listen, because I learn a lot.
I just love to listen to your voice. This is why I want you to talk.
No, I just, but the accessibility side of things, I'm fortunate last couple build from my own site. I have had some very smart people do it. So I typically don't have to be too concerned about that unless somebody says something. And usually if they do, I'm able to get that fixed quite quickly. So I think it's just interesting how far we've come with accessibility and how we've discovered that it's not just looking and seeing that person in the wheelchair needing a ramp. You know, there's so many hidden disabilities and so many non-visual disabilities that people have that affect everything. And I think Maestro being in on his journey at this time, it's exciting because you're learning so much more than maybe 5-10 years ago, where people thought of disabilities, somebody can't walk, that's disabled, that's it, or can't hear or something like that. And there's all these different levels. And the other thing, I think there's a lot of ways to get attention. And I guess my biggest thing is, no matter where you try to get attention on something that you feel needs to be, you know, taken care of, whether it's on social, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on GitHub, kind of take a breath, think about it, maybe write it down, maybe even actually
absolutely
research a little bit before you open your mouth. I think we've gotten to a point where it's too easy.
I agree with that as well.
To do these things. And so nobody's taking the time. And if we could get that nice balance there where people are, okay, I want to do it this way. I want to do a tutorial. I want to do it this way. Mm-hmm. But let me really kind of think this through, you know, and not just thinking that this is the only way to do it is to be loud and vocal immediately. So,
yeah, right. I agree with you. I'm really happy that you're mentioning it. Like, I mean, there are so many ways to communicate, and this is what it's all about. It is communication. And whether that is verbal or written or whatever, that's it. And step back and ask yourself, how would you like to consume the information that you're getting, or the change requests or the feature requests? Absolutely, this is essential.
There's always to do it, and it's great that everybody's finding different alternatives and different ways to be heard. And it's why we have this podcast, and the shows we have is hoping to amplify and get the thoughts out and have people like Maestro on here telling us about his journey, what he feels and stuff. It's great.
Yeah, I love it. I'm very glad that you wanted to come onto the show, Maestro. And where can we find you online? What is your website? Are you on social media? How do we find
Maestro? Yes, I definitely am on a couple social medias, but not a lot. You can also find me on iconoftemplates.com, to be specific, because sometimes people say, well, what's the actual site? But LinkedIn as well. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn and YouTube as well, too. And yeah, I definitely would say those are probably the three biggest places that you'd be able to find me. You can always Google my name. I've worked very, 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 very hard to make my name Googleable, as sad as that sounds. But our reputation matters. And I agree with Bob and with yourself as far as just the balance, how to be vocal and communicate and just being mindful of that. I think oftentimes we don't show up as our authentic selves. And I think that could be a problem sometimes, but you still have to be respectful and mindful.
Yeah, I think that's important too. There is another future guest on the show, and I'm not going to put him on the spot by naming him here now. But I do want to share that. I know he sometimes worries when he creates videos about accessibility. So he will take certain parts of WordPress or WooCommerce or whatever and just test it through different tools. And then he's always worried that he's stepping on people's toes by doing so. And that is understandable. But if you present your message in the right way, instead of, yeah, you're doing it wrong, you're so stupid. Like, oh, hey, look, you missed the point there. Or hey, if you tested, probably tried this with the Windows voiceover, but you should try it with Mac. It works differently. It's just, in French, they say, c'est le ton qui fait la musique, which means it's the tone of the music. Yeah. And that would be my final note on the show. I hope next time we are joined again by my wonderful co-host, Taka. I want to thank you, Maestro. I want to thank you, Bob. And I'm thanking Grade in Munich to be sponsoring me to be a co-host here. I'm really happy that I get the time to do this, because this is my pet peeve and my hottest topic. And I just love to talk to all of you. And if there's anyone who's like, hey, Anne, hey, Bob, hey, wait a second, I want to say something on the Do the Woo Accessibility podcast, or I have questions, or I have this fantastic tip, or I found this great tool, do you know it? Go ahead and share it. I know at Do the Woo, they're currently working on all kinds of ways of sharing things even better with us. Is that right, Bob?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot down the road this fall. We've got some very interesting things, some rather large projects going on. So we will be soon bringing back our blog on, and we're going to make our blog just like our podcast. It's going to be a, you know, blog by the community for the community.
Fantastic. Thank you. All right. So I'm going to wish you all a very happy day, and I hope to talk and see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you both.
Hey, Bob WP here, and I'd like to thank Omnisend.com and HostingYour.com for their support. Please consider checking them out. And thanks again for tuning into all things WordPress and WooCommerce. If you're not subscribed, just head over to DoTheWoo.com. omnisend.io/subscribe or find us on your favorite pod player. And remember, you can subscribe to any of our shows directly or hear them all on our Do the Woo full channel feed. Until the next time.